We're in a series on the Ten Commandments. I'm going to switch the Fifth Commandment with the Fourth Commandment today because this is Mother's Day. And the Fifth Commandment deals with the home. We'll look at the Fourth Commandment next Sunday. The Fifth Commandment is a pivotal commandment. It links the first section dealing with our relationship with God, the first four commandments, with the last section, which deals with our relationship with one another. See, we can't really be right with one another until we're right with God. We've got to start there. And if you're going to learn to respect your parents, you've got to learn that at home. If you're going to respect everybody, anybody in authority, that begins in the home. We need to teach our children this respect and how to honor others. If you want to stand for God's reading, Bible reading, would you stand with me now? We're going to look at Deuteronomy 5:16 for our text this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Talking about the promised land where they were going. So this is a commandment with a promise that comes with it. Amen. You may be seated. Raising children today can be difficult. Considering the culture in which we live, all the things that they're being bombarded with in other places, it's so important that in the home, we teach our children the commandments of God. Now, as I said, parents, let me do something here. Parents, have you ever said any of these to your children? Or maybe I ought to ask the kids, have you ever heard this from your parents? Like, do you want a spanking? Of course, everybody wants a spanking. You know, let me pull this car over. Kids, you ever heard that one? Don't you get smart with me. Get dumb, I guess. Don't get smart. Because I said so, that's why. We've all done that one, right? If everybody else jumped off a bridge, would you? A lot of wisdom in that one. When are you going to grow up? Say that to a three-year-old. When are you going to grow up? And just one more. The parental curse. Just wait till you have kids. I hope they're just like you. We've heard that one, haven't we? We're just passing that curse on from generation to generation. Now, if you've said any of that the last week, parents, you might need a vacation. Amen. Here's what I want to do. I want to take this fifth commandment. I want to turn it around. Not so much talking to the kids about honoring their parents. I want to talk to you parents about how to be honorable, to make it easier for your children to honor you, how we can ensure that they will want to honor us. All right? Two basic thoughts this morning. First of all, why parents must gain the honor of our children? Why it's important? Let's begin with the definition of honor. The Hebrew word here, it means to attach weight to. To attach weight to. The idea here is to pay attention, to give significance to them, to treat them with consideration. All that's involved here. Now remember, not all of us have children, but all of us have parents. You're like my parents, they've gone on to be with the Lord, but I can still honor their memory. I can speak well of them, and we should do that. that whether you think your parent is worthy or not, we are to do this. Honor your mother and your father. How much better it is, though, parents, when we live honorable lives before our children and make it easier for them to honor us. Now, we're not talking about perfect lives. We're talking about honorable lives. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect mother here on Mother's Day. But this is not what this is saying. It doesn't say honor your mom or dad if they're perfect. Honor them because they're your mother and father. Treat them with respect. Now, there's no perfect parents. There's no perfect children. Let me say that you cannot guarantee how your children are going to turn out. We mentioned Proverbs 22:6 recently, that proverb, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Sometimes parents get beat up with that verse. If their children don't turn out what they had hoped, maybe they've gone away from God or not living a godly life, maybe living a sinful life. And sometimes the parents are blamed for such children. Because if you had trained them up, they would not have departed from that. Where's the thing about that proverb? What they're not going to depart from is the training. In other words, that training will always be with them. If you taught them the Word of God and how to love the Lord and you showed them the way to Jesus Christ, no matter how far backslidden they get, there's going to be a memory of that training. And God can use that to prick their conscience and hopefully bring them back unto God. So don't beat up parents with this if their children, you know, all children have a free will. They grow up, you've got a free will. And you know, if we use these Bible proverbs as ironclad promises, you'll probably lose your faith. These are proverbs, not promises. Amen? They're not promises. There's proverbs that tell us how to be wealthy. Does that mean that everyone who follows that proverb will be wealthy? Of course not. Many godly people are very poor in material things. So a proverb is a general principle, when generally applied, brings a general result. Somebody said it's a short sentence based on long experience. There's a modern parable. We've all heard this one. Early to bed, early to rise will make a person healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, is that true? If that's true, dairy farmers ought to be the healthiest, wealthiest people on earth. I don't know if anybody beats them up each morning. So let's think about this. There is also a decision to honor. A decision to honor. It's something we need to decide to do. And as I said, we all have a free will. And people are going to exercise their free will. And they may walk away from the faith of their parents in doing so. Think about this. We could say God had two children, Adam and Eve. What happened to them? God was not a very good father, was he? Because Adam and Eve sinned and transgressed against the Word of God. No, God gave Adam and Eve a free will. He gave them commandments, limitations, but they disobeyed God and exercised their free will. So our desire is to have godly children, to have godly grandchildren. Our goal is to be a godly parent and a godly grandparent worthy of their honor. Now, I believe in the principle of Proverbs 22:6. Yes, we should train them up in the way God wants them to go. We need to teach them the commandments of God. But as long as they have a free will, some may turn out ungodly despite our best efforts. But I think we can cut down the chances of that happening by following God's instructions, by teaching them the Word of God. I'm trying to relieve some of you of the burden of perfectionism. It says if your child fails, it's the parent's fault. Not necessarily. The commandment does not require you to think your parents are perfect or that they're always right. Sometimes parents will embarrass their children. Amen? They'll do things to embarrass them. We're not required to condone our parents' bad behavior. But we are required to honor them. Whether they're perfect or not, whether you think they deserve it or not, we ought to honor mom and dad. There's a promise, it says, attached to this. That thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee. Dishonoring your parents, that doesn't prolong your life, it shortens your life. In the law, it was a capital offense to dishonor your parents. You'd be taken out and stoned to death. That's found in Exodus 21:17. He that curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. That was the law of Moses. So it was a very serious thing to dishonor your parents. You know, it's really only by the grace of God that we survive parenting. Amen? Parents enter into this role with no experience. And by the time we get the experience we need, we're unemployed. The kids have grown up and left home. So we end up raising our grandchildren with more wisdom than we had when we were raising their parents. We can use that experience with the grandkids. Thank God for grandchildren. Amen. We can give them that wisdom that we did not have possessed early on. We want to pass our faith on to our children. Some have a very wonderful family heritage. I'm proud of my heritage and the West family. My father was a Baptist preacher. My great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather were Baptist preachers. I had a cousin that traced our family history. Even going back to Virginia in the 1700s, he found a couple more Baptist preachers among our ancestors. I'm proud of that. If you've ever been in my office, I've got a picture of the seven sons of Owen West in my office. Seven sons of Owen West. The eldest was Mac West, my great-great-grandfather. All seven of those brothers were Baptist preachers. All seven. I did not even know that until just a couple of years ago when my cousin was tracing all of this. And I found a picture of them in a history of Pettigene Mountain where they all grew up in Arkansas. They had a picture of the seven sons of Owen West, and I made a copy and put it in my... I like to look at that to remind me of my heritage. And I want it to pass on to future generations. Heard about a couple of teenage boys that, to honor their dad on Father's Day, they decided to put together a book of the family history. They found out they had an uncle who was an outlaw and died in the electric chair. So here's what they wrote about this person. Uncle George was selected to occupy the chair of applied electronics at an important government institution, the Federal Pen. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties. His death was a real shock. So there's ways to work it out. Amen. Let's talk about how parents can gain honor from our children. We talked about why. Let's look at how. How can we do this? Let me give you four simple ways that you can gain your children's honor and prepare them to live for the Lord and also become honor-worthy parents in the future. Okay? First of all, we can gain their honor by listening. Listening to them, or I'm jumping ahead, by loving them. By loving them unconditionally. That's where we ought to start, amen? Love your children unconditionally. Real parental love is not giving your children everything they want. It's giving them everything they need. A lot of times what they need, they don't want. But as a parent, we've got to make some decisions concerning our children and what they really need from us. I say, oh, preacher, everybody knows that. You know what? We're living in a day and time and all the values and principles that we once cherished are up for grabs. Amen. These younger people, this new generation, they're hearing a bunch of junk today that we need to be careful to show them the true way. One way to love your children is by hugging them or touching them. Somebody said, kids need hugs, not drugs. What did the father of the prodigal son do when he came home? Bible says that he fell on his neck and kissed him. Or he hugged his neck. That's a beautiful picture of fatherly love, isn't it? Frequent hugs can keep your children from growing up to be sexually impure. They say a girl who receives her father's hugs of affection is less likely to trade sexual intimacy for affection later on. Unaffectionate parents, without meaning to do so, can trigger a daughter's promiscuity. Hug your kids. And that teen may say, oh, mom, when you try to hug him, go ahead and hug him anyway. Deep down, he wants you to. Amen. Don't hold back your affection. Demonstrate your feelings of love. They need that affirmation and appreciation. Now, let me give a little personal testimony, because my wife's sitting back here saying, who's this talking about hugging his kids? Me and my brothers were not hugged by my dad. I was the same way with my boys, following my dad's example. They just grew up in a time when they didn't do that. So I didn't grow up hugging my boys like I should have. I made up for it with Shelby. I hug her every chance I get. It's easier to hug girls, though, than to hug some big old ugly boy. But my dad belonged to a generation that just did not show affection openly. I had a sister. He kind of hugged around on Kathy, but not the three boys. When I would go home, after we left home, I'd go home, he would shake my hand. I didn't really think anything about it. I knew my dad loved me. And I grew up the kind of the same way. And Betty will tell you, I'm not as affectionate as I ought to be. Amen. Now, Betty's dad, Richard, was a hugger. He'd come along, he'd grab you in a big old bear hug. And at first, you know, it kind of made me uncomfortable. I wasn't used to that. But I got used to it after a while. So some of you may be like me. You weren't really raised in that kind of environment to be openly affectionate. But I think we need to overcome that. I think it's important to do that. And I'm sorry that I did not do that more for my boys than I should have. Hug them. And secondly, love your children by blessing them. We bless our kids. We can do this in incredible ways. Now, my parents blessed me with a godly upbringing. From the cradle on up, we were in church every time the doors opened. And I praise God for that. I praise God for my upbringing. Children need to know that they have their parents' blessings as they dream, as they hope, as they plan for the future. That they'll be all that God wants them to be. Bless your children and take their joys and sorrows seriously. Don't laugh at them when they're hurting. When their pet lizard dies, that affects them. They sorrow. Don't make fun of that. Be kind. Be gentle. Kiss away those tears and fears. Bless your children. And bless them by listening to them. Learn to listen. I think one of the most effective ways of communication sometimes is just saying nothing but being there to listen. Listen to their problems and their struggles. Communicate your love. And you can do that without saying a word. We say, when are you going to grow up? Don't rush them into growing up. Let them experience the different phases and stages of childhood. Amen. They don't need to grow up that fast. Give them time to grow up. And then love your kids by praying for them and praying with them. Pray for that child by name every morning before they leave the house. Pray with them. I think it's important that they go off to school or wherever with mom and dad's prayers on their mind. Pray with your children. Help them to make good decisions that they may be confronted with that day. I heard about a grown son who was at his father's grave, standing there with his pastor. He said, "Pastor, my dad professed to be a Christian, and I believe he was. But you know, Pastor, I can never once remember ever hearing my dad pray." That's sad, isn't it? That's a sad testimony. I can never ever remember hearing my dad pray. Do you pray with your kids? You need to. That's important. Pray for them. And pray with them. Are you teaching them how to pray? That's very important also, that they learn how to speak to God and pray. Next, we can gain their honor by lifting them. Lifting them unceasingly. Build them up through wise encouragement. The Bible says in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Sometimes instead of encouraging our children, we can be guilty of discouraging them. Somebody said, "Wise encouragement is better than lavish praise." He said there's a difference between encouragement and praise. In encouragement, you're encouraging the person. In praise, you're praising the accomplishment. He said, that's the difference. Therefore, encouragement is more important and better than just praising them and their accomplishments. They need encouragement. They need it like a flower needs water. Over and over, dose after dose, day after day. Let them know through your encouragement that you believe in them. That you believe in them. Now, praise is not bad, but encouragement, I think, is better. It focuses the spotlight where it needs to be. But we can't discourage our children. Constant nagging, belittling. A lot of that goes on in many homes, doesn't it? It's a discouragement to our children. You don't want your child to be like the little girl I heard about who was saying her bedtime prayer. She said, "Please, God, don't give Mom any more kids. She doesn't know how to raise the one she's got." You don't want to hear your kids praying like that, do you? Make your home a place of joy and laughter. Do you have a happy home? A joyful home? Now, I said don't laugh at them, but you can laugh with them. I think some parents just need to lighten up. Somebody said human beings are the only creatures of God who can laugh, weep, or blush. Now, the laughing hyena is not really laughing. No, he just makes a sound. It sounds like laughter. But laughter, I think, is God's gift to us. Bible says, Luke 6:21, Jesus said, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Ye shall laugh. I think heaven is a place where there's going to be much joy and laughter. Don't you? There's going to be a lot of joy and laughter in heaven in God's kingdom. Laughter is God's gift to us. It's a blessing. I believe it's a blessing. Somebody said, it's like sunshine in the home. Let your kids see you laugh at yourself and at your mistakes. Is your home filled with fun? Think about that. Your home ought to be the happiest place on the block. You know, some children get out of school and they don't really want to go home. Because of all the anxiety and trouble that's there, the belittling, the nagging, and the criticism, they don't want to go home. That's not right. Your children ought to want to go home. They ought to want to bring their friends with them. The happiest place on the block is our home. There's a lot of laughter, a lot of joy in our home. Is that true of your home? You might say, "Well, Brother West, I need to work on that. We need to improve in that area." But it ought to be. Your home should ring with laughter. It's good for the soul. Another proverb is Proverbs 17, 22. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." I think you can say a merry home doeth good like a medicine. A home that's full of laughter and joy. That kind of a home will produce merry hearts. We can also gain their honor by limiting them uncompromisingly. We've got to set some healthy limits for our children. It takes firm restrictions, really, to set children free. You liberate them when you limit them. God judged Eli. You see this in 1 Samuel 3:13. He was one of the last judges of Israel. God judged Eli because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. He didn't discipline his sons and they became vile. He did later on, years later, raising Samuel. I think he did a better job. Remember, Hannah brought Samuel and left him in the care of Eli to serve there in the tabernacle. I think Eli learned some things by now and kind of did a better job with Samuel than he did with his sons. But listen, children need some boundaries. They need some boundaries. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He gave them all they needed, but did he not set some limits? There was one tree in that garden that they were forbidden to eat from. God's example of setting limits here is a positive one. When you set limits for your children, what are they going to do? They're going to test them, aren't they? They're going to test your rules. They're going to find out just how serious you are about these rules. They'll push against them. And if you allow them to get away with it, that does not really liberate them. It restrains them. See, they need boundaries. And when they test the boundaries and they hold firm, really that gives them a sense of security. You may not think so, but think about what happens when these boundaries are removed. Keep in mind that these limits are to be drawn in love. Children know that you love them when they push against the boundaries and they don't move. They're secure. And they get a sense of security because of it. See, a failure to place limits on them communicates not so much freedom as it does rejection. We all desire limits. Now think about this. If you don't conquer a child's self-will, somebody else will. Mom, Dad, if you don't do it, the policeman will do it. Teacher at school will do it. It's better to do it at home and learn it from mom and dad. Psalm 11:13 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's some foundations they need in their life. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The Duke of Windsor visited America years ago. At the end of his visit, he was being interviewed about his thoughts about America. He said, well, the thing that impresses me the most about America is the way the parents obey their children. It's not supposed to be that way, is it? But I think that's true in a lot of homes. The children rule the roost. Back in the good old days, people had, especially out in the country, before they got indoor plumbing, they had these outhouses. And sometimes boys thought it was funny to push an outhouse over. Any of y'all ever do that? You wouldn't admit it if you did, would you? Well, there's this one boy and his friend. They decided that they'd have a little fun. And so they came to this outhouse. They pushed it over and it rolled down a slope. They just laughed, thought that was so funny. Later, his boy's father confronted him and asked him if he did that. The boy thought, well, somebody saw us do that and told Dad. So I'm not going to lie. He said, Daddy, just like George Washington, I cannot tell a lie. Yes, I did. His dad grabbed him up and just started whipping the fire out of him. The boy said, oh, wait a minute. George Washington, Dad didn't whip him when he cut down the cherry tree. Dad said, yes, but his dad wasn't in the cherry tree when he cut it down. Makes a difference. But we do need to set some limits. You better set some limits at home about what your kids are watching on TV. What they're watching on a computer. You better set some limits about the music they listen to. About the literature that they read. Parents, we've got to protect them from garbage. That's your job. That's your job to protect your children from these things that will influence them in a wrong way. Protect them from a bad influence. We make a terrible mistake if we think that what they're listening to or watching doesn't affect them. It does. The Bible says, Proverbs 6:27, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned. Finally, we earn their honor by leading them unerringly. We've got to lead our children. We've got to teach our children by example. Set the right example before them. Train them in the way they should go by doing these things before them and with them. How do you train your children or your grandchildren? You know, a man will take a hunting dog and train him to hunt. He'll take him out, go hunting with him. I think some people, they treat their dogs better than they treat their children. They'll train the dog, but they don't train the kids. They tie the dog up at night and let the kids run wild. It's better to tie the kids up and let the dog run wild. Now, that was a hyperbole. Don't go home and tie your children up. That was an exaggeration to make a point. I went to cops coming by and one asking why your kids were tied up. Well, Brother West told us to. No, don't do that. But you know what I'm saying, don't you? We've got to be careful and lead our children in the right way. Train them up. Help them develop a sound character. Not to be a character, but to have character. Let me ask you, what kind of character do your children have? They start developing a character very early on. What kind of character do you see in your children? Do they exhibit courtesy? Fairness? Friendliness? Generosity, gentleness, honesty, humility, kindness, self-control, gratitude. What about it? What kind of character are you seeing in your children? It's important that we raise them to have good character. And a lot they're going to gain by watching mom and dad. If mom and dad are not patient or fair or courteous, why should they be? Amen. Bible says, 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Parents, is that the way you feel? No greater joy than to hear from others that my children are exhibiting good, godly character. What do you hear about your children? What do you want to hear? As we stand together, we had this hymn of invitation. Parents, let me remind you of something. The only thing that you can take to heaven with you are your children and your grandchildren. Raise them right. Lead them to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Teach them how to honor and obey God. If they know the Lord Jesus Christ and they're saved, they get to go to heaven with you. That's important, isn't it? To raise them right. To know the Lord. Let me ask you this. Think about your children, your grandchildren. Those that are of age, we call it the age of accountability. Do you have any that's not yet saved? Not baptized? Are you praying about that? Pray for the salvation of your children, your grandchildren. That they'll give their lives to the Lord. Follow Him in baptism. Folks, there's nothing more important than that for our children. Mom, Dad, are you saved? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Your children need parents who know and love the Lord. Will the family circle be unbroken in the next life? Isn't it great to go to heaven with the family plan? I told you about my heritage. Folks, I grew up in a family. I'm talking about all the uncles and aunts and cousins. I did not know of anybody in our family that was not saved. I had five uncles that were preachers, besides my dad. I didn't know what it was like to have a loved one that was not saved. Married Betty, she had a bunch of them in her family. We set about trying to win them to the Lord one by one. We won a bunch of them to the Lord. Mom, Dad, are you saved? Do you know the Lord?